You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
And my, you know, like ongoing segment with Rachel Brooking. Hi, Rachel. How are you going?
I'm good, thanks, Lily.
Yeah, good morning thus far. You said that you had some problems with the sun.
I know. What a thing to complain about in Dunedin in winter, isn't it? But the sun was just a little bit sunstrikey when I was driving in today. But I'm not really complaining about there being sun. And it's going to be a beautiful day again.
Yeah.
15 degrees. Amazing.
I know. It's kind of crazy. It already feels like spring in a way.
It does. But it will turn on us. So don't take it for granted. Whatever you do, don't put away those winter woolies just yet.
Yeah. Recently, you were in the capital, as you often are. But when you were there, you also attended a few events in town. Talk to me about the Forest and Bird Petition and the Legacy NZ protest that you attended.
Yeah, so when we're at Parliament, which is often about 31 weeks a year, often groups who've got an issue, they come to Parliament because it's an easy way to access politicians, very efficient. So the Forest and Bird group and the legacy one, that was about the Fisheries Act the Fisheries Bill, Amendment Bill that Shane Jones, who is the Minister for Fisheries and New Zealand First Minister, had put in, that is just very problematic for a number of environmental grounds relating to fisheries. So that's what they were protesting about, saying that they had a ban the bill was what they were doing. And so my colleague, Rachel Boyack, she went out and spoke to them, and we're in support of what they're asking for in terms of restarting any reforms of the Fisheries Act. Then the Forest and Bird one was about the Denniston Plateau. So this is really special environment, which I've actually never visited. I tried over summer, but I got pulled back to Dunedin. And it's the plateau in Denniston. It's quite high up. And it has all of these strange sort of dwarf plants because I think it's a very rugged environment up there, and has some particularly interesting species of moths and some geckos as well. The issue there is that there's already a coal mine up there, and there's a application, or there's talk of a fast track consent being applied for a huge coal mine up on the Denniston Plateau.
Mm.
And the thing is that the land there has been stewardship land, so it has a conservation classification, but there's issues about how it's been reclassified and real concerns that the special biodiversity up there won't be protected. So that's what the Forest and Bird Petition was about.
Beautiful. And earlier this week on campus, we had the OUSA Leaders Debate, which has been described online as raucous. And when I've been talking to students, they described it as entertaining, but a little bit of a crazy thing to witness in front of them. Give me your insights, your personal kind of rundown perspective. You were there, two seats away from me.
I was there. It had some energy to it, a lot of energy to it. It was very different from a debate that I did yesterday, which was a lot calmer. And I wasn't on stage, to be clear, so the energy was not mine. It was a big panel and it went for 2 hours, and most of the audience, well, just under 2 hours, most of the audience stayed for the full time as well. And it was just, I guess it was the energy when you came into the room. There was some music playing that was sort of quite uplifting music, or music that you might hear in a gym, you know, energising. I keep going back to this energy word, don't I? But it was, you know, invigorating music.
Yeah.
And it sort of started with some sass and some attitude. And that was what the MCs were giving off as well. There were a lot of people with a lot of opinions who wanted to have a say, which you got. So
yeah, we definitely got many, many, many opinions in the 2 hours.
Yes, and it is different from Parliament. I know lots of the people, many of the people on stage were members of Parliament. There were obviously the top guy is not a member of Parliament in the Te Pāti Māori. Lisa, she's not either. But It's different from when you are in Parliament because, of course, it's more structured in Parliament with all the rules of when you can speak and not speak. And yes, there are some interjections in Parliament, but they're normally quite short. So it's a different energy from what was seen at that debate. But I hope students got something something out of it. And also, obviously politicians are very bad at sticking to all those rules around yes, no questions and three words only or two words only.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. There were some bits of it that I was like, man, if we were in primary school right now, this person would be kicked out of the classroom, you know? But it was good. It was energizing, I think. And there were so many people there, as you were saying, which I think shows that students are, they're engaged and they want to know more for this election cycle. It's important to them.
Yeah, and look, so hopefully everyone listening is enrolled to vote. Mm. And if you think you're enrolled to vote, do check that you are actually enrolled to vote.
Yeah.
As students, most people have a choice of whether they want to vote for at home or in their flat, if you're in a flat or hall of residence. So do make sure you're enrolled for where you want to be enrolled for. And I think, though, there were some why people were getting a bit riled up on Tuesday was there are some really big issues going on in terms of the division that's been set by this government in the country in terms of this government walking back all climate change actions, this government, the treaty coming out of absolutely everything. Those are the things that sparked some maybe some interjections and the like. And also, of course, we had that conversation around pay equity.
Yeah.
And that got quite heated. But and that was bizarre because this government, in all stages urgency, so urgency can be you just do a little bit of a bills process in urgency just to speed up a couple of timeframes, but you still send it to select committee and there's still proper scrutiny. That's one form of urgency. But then there's this all stages urgency. So what happens is we don't see the bill until the minister stands up and starts speaking about it.
Mm.
And then the bill passes, you know, within the day or the next day. And so you've got to ask questions to the minister in the committee stage and pretend like you've got to do all the scrutiny and you've only just seen the piece of legislation. And that's what happened with pay equity, which is a terrible way to make law. That is how you make mistakes. But it was very unclear about what the policy intent was as well, because when we were going in, this was before the budget last year, David Seymour said on the black and white tiles, hey, we've saved the budget. Yet, next minute, the Prime Minister goes in and he says, oh, it's got nothing to do with the budget. And so we stand there and ask questions and say, is this effectively stopping all pay equity claims? And we're like, no, it's just the answers were something like, oh, we're just tidying everything up. It's going to, what are you guys talking about?
Mm.
But it was very clearly designed to stop all pay equity claims, which is now why the Minister for Finance, Nicola Willis, sneers at us and goes, oh, so if you're going to fix pay equity, where are you going to get that $13 billion from? And so it's like, oh, so that your policy intent was always about the money and to stop those claims, yet you had the gumption to say on the tiles, the Prime Minister, that it had nothing to do with the money and that your speeches were all about, oh, we're just tidying up this legislation, you know.
Mm.
What a load of rubbish.
And can you break down that pay equity for us?
So pay equity legislation, it's different from pay parity and it's different from equal pay. So equal pay is where if I'm a woman doing a job and it's exactly the same job as a man, then equal pay. Pay parity is where the jobs are very similar but you get paid if you maybe work for a different institution or if you're, say, a primary school teacher and you get paid less than a high school teacher or more than a early childhood teacher. So that's the sort of pay parity sphere.
Mm.
And then pay equity is, it is a bit more complicated because the issue is where a class of job is predominantly done by a woman and it gets paid less than a similar job that is predominantly done by men. So a similar job being one where you have the same sort of qualifications, you might work the same sort of hours, you have the same level of stress. That is the pay equity issue. And so we had a number of education claims in, we've had claims for various different health workers and the like as well, and then all of those claims that were in action, they've all stopped now.
Mm.
And it was just through tinkering with some of the settings had the effect of stopping all the claims.
Thank you very much, Rachel, for breaking that down. Like going back to students, and I think fees-free, you know, it was a big discussion point. It was another kind of heated topic within the leaders' debate. We brought this up a little bit last time you were on the program, but just revisiting it, Labor hasn't promised to bring back fees-free, but in terms of what Labor is doing for tertiary students for this election and hopefully once they get into government, if they did.
So we have not released our tertiary policy yet, which is one of the trickinesses of of these. And then we saw that at that debate when there were yes-no questions. It's like, oh, we're not quite there yet. We will obviously get there. Fees-free, I want to say a couple of things about that. One of them is the debate that erupted before the budget, just before the budget, when National announced that they were canning what they campaigned on in terms of fees-free. It was all about the numbers of students that were coming to university. Somehow it was framed as if that was always the objective of fees-free, whereas I think a very good policy objective for having fees-free policies is to lower the amount of debt burden of our graduates. That is a good policy outcome, to think about the debt of our graduates. And that wasn't really talked about just before the budget. So that is very much front of mind for us as well, about the debt burden that graduates are coming out with and how we get people to stay in the country, you know, go for an OE,
do
all those things. But how do we make sure that our talent is staying in New Zealand? So that'll be the focus of Labor's tertiary policies.
And paid placements, views on that?
Yeah, again, no policy on that at the moment, but I totally get that there are different trainings that require people to go away and pay that double rent and pay for pay for travel and all of those things, and that's incredibly expensive and is going to add to that debt burden as well that I was just speaking about. And, you know, there's issues of, well, why do some people get it and some roles not get it? So we're aware of all of those issues and looking at those as well.
Beautiful. And, you know, students, they're a part of the Dunedin community and the local economy. What holistic approaches do you see are good for, you know, students are here, they contribute to this economy. That's often not always at the forefront of conversation.
Yeah, well, so putting on my Dunedin electorate hat, of course, you know, this is a university town and everybody does talk about that. You know, everyone seriously who's talking about the Dunedin economy, yes, there are very important other aspects to the Dunedin economy, but fundamentally we're a university town. And when I say university, I of course include the very important and wonderful Polytech that we have here as well. I'm not trying to be exclusive at all. And that has some real benefits, not just from the students adding a whole lot of energy and interest to the place, but also to the all the staff that come with it being a university and all those postgraduate students and other the sort of cusping between being staff and student as well. That just really adds to the creativity of the place. So we're 130,000 people in Dunedin, yet we have just amazing festivals, although some of the arts funding has been cut. And a lot of that comes through the relationships with the university and the Polytech and just having a whole lot of really interesting people choosing to live in Dunedin, and that's a great thing. So that's more the sort of what I'm talking about there is the creative side, but also the economic side in terms of you have little interesting projects. Some of them come from students. So we had that bed company start out in Dunedin through some students looking at the student flat bed situation, and they seem to be doing really well. I think they've gone back to Tauranga or somewhere, but you know, that's a cool economic thing. Then we can get businesses generated out of the university as well. And you know, more of that would be great. So of course it's the student population is incredibly important to all of Dunedin, and nobody who seriously thinks about Dunedin would ever say otherwise.
Yeah. And keeping that Dunedin hat on, can you shout out any projects, any events that are happening in Ōtepoti that you're excited for at the moment that are coming up?
Hi. Well, I'm probably going to miss out on all of them, but I know that the International Film Festival is about to start, and that's always great, and great that it comes to Dunedin. It doesn't go to everywhere. And normally there's an offshoot in Goa as well, which I think is super
that's
cool.
That's amazing.
really sad about the Polyfest funding being cut. Normally that'll happen this month? Within the month. And Polyfest is wonderful. My kids have all gone and done Polyfest. My daughter did it when I think she was sub one. She walked really early. And she was doing a performance. They had a teacher from Kiribati, and I think it was the first time there had been a performance from Kiribati in the Polyfest in Dunedin at that stage.
Lovely.
And the Polyfest has been going on in Dunedin for a long, long time and is an awesome community event as well. So those are some things that are coming up. Just thinking mentally of my diary here. And the another thing is the outpatients new hospital build that's going to open next Friday.
Wow.
So that's finally one of the hospital buildings. Obviously, we've got that big inpatients building, which is the one that there's been all the controversy about. And you can see that across the road from the outpatients building. And that building was delayed by this government by 18 months when they campaigned against me saying, we're going to do more than Labor. And then they got into government and went, oh, actually, maybe it's in the wrong place. Maybe Dunedin doesn't need a tertiary teaching hospital after all. For 18 months, and then they realised, thanks to 35,000 people protesting in Dunedin, that no, Dunedin is a very sensible place to have a tertiary teaching hospital, and that inpatients building needs to be built, and that's the place to build it. So now we do see some cranes on that site, and it's happening, but after 18
three
months
very
of
big
delay. They're giant.
And it just goes to show, you know, people, they do indeed have the power.
Yes, and like politicians, we do listen to people. And of course, you've got to remember, if you're thinking about lobbying a politician, that we get it from all sides. But where there's very clear community sentiment about an issue, then that is helpful for us to go, oh, look, 35,000 people in the streets in Dunedin. That's a huge proportion of the population. People really care about this. They're coming from different political walks of life as well. Of course, we need to listen to them.
Amazing. Thank you very much for joining me this morning, Rachel.
Thanks for having me.
Good. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, you too. And everyone listening.
That was Rachel Brooken on the program for the Brooking Report for this week.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.